Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Thanks.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. You're in a war. You knew that already. This is war. This is 360 war. This is the war that you've been waiting for. This is the apocalypse. This is Armageddon. Let's get ready. Let's get ready right now. If you watch this on YouTube, we'll be there for the first 15 minutes because while the judiciary is used to wage war against a presidential candidate, at least I know that's what a lot of you think in the Rumble chat, whilst the judiciary is deployed to shut down dissent, while everywhere we look, we see the systems of the establishment, whether it is the legacy media or parliamentary or congressional politics, or, you know, even more terrifyingly, literal military war. We know these are the days. Somewhere inside you, you're awakening to the fact that this is the day that you are being called by your name to awaken. This is the time where we must turn. This is the time where we must throw off the shackles. This is the time where we must reject their narrative. And in order to do that, we must, of course, first be well informed. And by the end of this show, we will be better informed together, for we shall wade through the slew of untruths that they call new. We've got a fantastic guest coming on the show today, Dr. Asim Malhotra. I feel confident in saying Dr. Asim Malhotra is a friend of the show. We've had him on many times. He's a cardiologist. He lost his own father. And at that point, his father was also a physician, by the way, in circumstances that some of you watching this right now will be beginning to suspect when I say we can't talk about it openly on YouTube, but we will be asking him about that and about how the tide is finally turning when it comes to people being asked the right question and the right questions about events during the pandemic period. You're not going to want to miss that. You're going to want to join us for that. In fact, you're going to want to become an Awakened Wonder, because when you are an Awakened Wonder, like Shaman711 and Janice6, you get access to our content first. You get exclusive videos every single week and you get to join us live for conversations with, like, Friday's guests here, Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr was asked questions directly from members of our audience. You should become one. And we are so confident in this, we're willing to give you a month for free. Use the code I surrender. If any time you don't think this is improving your life, if you don't think this is awakening you, if you don't think that we are arming you to assuage and confront these demonic attacks that continue even now, then, you know, we don't want your money. We believe in your freedom and we want your attention and we want your time. On this Tuesday, we've got an extended live show. That's happening right now. We've got a brilliant interview with Dr. Live Nels coming up soon. We do a live book club where we talk about important books that you'll love joining us for. And we do exclusive videos every week about the issues you want to discuss that are only available to our subscribers. So join us, because I suppose let's talk about it. There's escalating war everywhere. And the Trump trial is fascinating. But what have they really got against Trump? Is it that he gave Stormzy Daniels a couple of pounds to keep her mouth shut? Stormzy, shut your mouth. Stormzy, put a lid on it, Stormzy. It's actually Stormy. Oh, well, you know. Or is it judicial lawfare? Why don't you let me know in the chat right now if you think that this is about justice. Now, remember what justice is. There's a reason that justice is depicted always as being blind. Justice doesn't care who you are. Justice doesn't care if you're Donald Trump. Your name is irrelevant. It is the principle. Which principle of justice is being pursued right now? And you're aware, of course, that they can't find a single unbiased juror to adjudicate on the case, or at least observe the proceedings as jurors. jurors are supposed to. Now, you know, not many people enjoy jury duty, do they? I mean, who here? Let me know in the chat if you enjoy jury duty. So it's possible that of those 100 people, the reason that 40 people went, I'm out, is because they thought, oh, I'm not sitting here for 6 weeks listening to this claptrap. But the real problem is there anyone in the world right now that is impartial and unbiased on the subject of Donald Trump? Either you're part of the whirling hysteria that the legacy media continually conveys on behalf of the establishment, or you're part of the judiciary appealing, seemingly willingly, to the baser instincts of a Democrat Party establishment that's not willing to face Trump at the ballot box with this argument: you don't need Donald Trump, we are going to stand for ordinary Americans. They can't ever make that claim. They can't ever make that offering. So the only option they've got is to tie Trump up in continual legal battles. Whether you love Trump or you don't love Trump, whether you're a Bobby Kennedy person or a Donald Trump person, or whether you believe it's the system itself that ought to be on trial, the system itself that ought to be facing justice, we'll be covering this story for you right now. And in fact, let's get into it. They can't find a single juror of the 100 that turned up. None of them. They were immediately excused. And did you hear about the one person that went, well, I've read Art of the Deal, and that Donald Trump was always like, hey. And you can imagine Donald Trump just taking a moment there to think, they still love me. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'll be available for another 10 minutes. Then we will, you're going to have to click the link in the description to join us on Rumble, where that freedom freely streams as we communicate quite freely, uncensored, unexpurgated, in order to reach you directly. Of course, there's a meme because Donald Trump, he dozed off, didn't he? Sleepy Donald Trump sparks meme fest, and lots of them were, you know, as you one might imagine, like, well, there's this one, Don Snorleone, that's a good one. But a significant issue, perhaps, when it comes to Donald Trump, we've already talked in some depth about Donald Trump's stated position on Iran and the fact that perhaps Trump's boxes of confidential documents contained important information about potential conflict with Iran, and information that, for example, that there's been a long-standing intention to militarily engage Iran, and that's been part of the problem. And actually, broadly speaking, what is Trump's position on war? Is it true that no new foreign wars started under Donald Trump? Is that true? And what do you consider to be more important? Trump's apparent hush money and misappropriation of funds. I believe that's a component of this case. Again, though, an argument that could be made again to the Democrat Party. The Steele dossier revealed, of course, that the Clinton campaign spent money trying to demonstrate the veracity of the Russiagate scandal, which has been proven to be entirely untrue. Let's have a look at this, because this is an interesting turning point. As tensions escalate in the Middle East, is it possible that Trump, whether you love him or hate him, and it will be one of those, because no one's impartial on Trump, that's why you can't find an unbiased juror anywhere, because of the constant high-octane hysteria that surrounds Trump. Do you think that this is about Stormy Daniels and hush money, or do you think potentially Trump is an anti-establishment figure? Is he the swamp drainer that he claims to be? And as Joe Biden acquires another nickname, Genocide Joe, due to the United States' participation in activity that ultimately facilitates the ongoing genocide in Gaza, Trump's crowd are starting to enjoy Sleepy Joe's new nickname. Let's have a look at this.
He is a big problem.
Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe!
Genocide Joe, good nickname, could be catchy, it might stick. Icy Cold in the chat says, I'm impartial. But is anyone impartial on the subject of Donald Trump now? And is anyone impartial on the subject of an escalating Middle Eastern war? And exactly when did this war begin? Did this war begin on October the 7th? Or when you hear words and place names like Jerusalem and Damascus, are there significant clues in that? And when did America become co-opted by military industrial complex interests? And when did John Bolton, one of the most hawkish men in American political life, become a darling of the liberal and progressive media. Remember, their whole raison d'etre, their whole aesthetic is, we are the progressive media. We're the reasonable ones. We're the academics. Hold your nose. There's a basket of deplorables somewhere nearby. When did they start showcasing John Bolton? John Bolton, who believes that Dick Cheney, the warmonger, the Halliburton Iraq warlord, Dick Cheney, should be the president of the United States, according to John Bolton, and he is the friend and favorite of CNN and all of their legacy media acolytes. Of course, Bolton has condemned Trump as delusional, so at least that alone makes him a reliable pundit on these kind of legacy media outlets. But what else does John Bolton believe? I understand the ideology, my enemy's enemy is my friend. Are they so demented, so deranged with anti-Trump fever that even a man that advocates for Dick Cheney as president, Dick Cheney, the consequences of decisions that man made are being felt by us all now? Do you feel that we are becoming more vulnerable to terror attacks on domestic soil as a result of escalation of tensions between Israel and Iran? Let me know in the chat right now. Do you think it's yes or no? Just YRN. As conditions escalate in the Middle East, are we more or less likely to experience terror in the United States of America or the United Kingdom? Let me know, Y or N, yes or no. John Bolton believes that the person steering the United States into an era of peace and glory is Dick Cheney. Let's have a look.
And you've said you're going to write someone in November.
That's what I did in 2020, and I'll do it again this November.
Who did you write in 2020? You've never revealed that before.
Well, I might as well say it now. I voted for Dick Cheney.
Wow.
And I'll vote for Dick Cheney again this November.
You'll write in Dick Cheney.
That's right.
What made you write him in?
Because he was a principled Reaganite conservative, and he still is.
KRG in the chat. Remember when he shot someone in the face? Yeah, I do remember that. Dick Cheney loves war and violence so much that even when he's out just in a leisure activity, someone might get shot. I don't even think they were hunting. I think they were playing golf. And I'm spelling that with an O, not a U.
Age is no longer a factor in American presidential politics, so his age doesn't disqualify him. And I think he'd do an immensely better job than either Trump or Biden.
What about his daughter, Liz Cheney?
Well, I like Liz a lot. And, you know, maybe someday she'll get my write-in vote, too. But right now, I'll stick with her father.
I like Dick Cheney. I like Liz Cheney. I like anyone that'll advocate for war and that is anti-Trump. Do you know there are many people that believe? In fact, isn't this reporting from a left-wing legacy media outlet, an online advocate of the Democratic Party? Isn't the reason that John Bolton left the Trump administration is because Trump wouldn't let him start a war? So why is Trump getting mired in this lawfare? Is it because of an affair or is it because he wouldn't engage in warfare? This is some reporting from Vox. Now, Vox is hardly a friend of Donald Trump. When Bolton joined the administration in 2018, the worry was that the arch nationalist hawk would convince the war-averse Trump. War-averse, I think, is a good quality. You know, look, let me know what the reasons are that people hate Trump. I don't know whether some of them are. He said some pretty inappropriate stuff. He's like alleged to be like racist and stuff like that. Like some of these allegations seem somewhat hysterical. Indeed, as we have seen, no juror that is but I don't believe that anyone's impartial on the subject of Donald Trump. I don't believe him in icy cold in the Rumble chat claims to be. But what is it? The fact that someone's war-averse seems to be a pretty bloody good quality in an American president, except unless America are directly under attack. Like, unless China start circling the United States of America much in the manner that the United States are militarily surrounding China right now in the South China Seas. Unless Russia start to situate missile bases and KGB forces in Mexico in much the same way that the CIA are co-opting Ukraine and trying to use it as a vassal state. Then, yeah, let's tool up, baby. Let's get ready to go. But until then, America's might ought be utilized to deploy the values of peace and diplomacy. Am I right? Yes or no in the chat? Y or N? Peace. What do you want America's power utilized for? War or peace? War or peace? It's a pretty simple question, almost rhetorical, but I do appreciate your answer because we make this show entirely for you. We're streaming while the rest of the world is dreaming because we have no choice but to be awake. Let's continue with what a mouthpiece for the establishment, Vox, are saying on the subject of John Bolton. despite Bolton's best efforts. Do you know sometimes I think about Michael Bolton a little bit? Just the surname is so evocative of like Michael Bolton. I can't get him out of my mind. I can't get him out of there. Trump pursued diplomatic talks with North Korea and resisted escalating tensions despite a resumption in missile tests. I remember that, Rocket Man, all that stuff. That was pretty cute, wasn't it? And even after reimposing crushing sanctions on Iran, Trump repeatedly said he'd be willing to negotiate a better nuclear deal with the Islamic Republic's top officials. There's little indication Trump wants to ignite another war in the Middle East, despite his tough Iran stance. It goes to show that Trump is in control of the most important aspect of his foreign policy, whether or not to go to war. Would you argue that that is the most important aspect of the United States of America's foreign policy, and indeed maybe even domestic policy? Toolman154 in the chat. God's grace is peace. Surely that is true. Surely that's the truest thing that any of us can say to one another. If you're watching us in YouTube, on YouTube right now, you know how we're censored. There's no way you can bring a man like Asim Malhotra onto a show who's going to spit truth and download bars of divine openness. You can't have him on YouTube. The community guidelines will go through the roof. The community guidelines. What are the community guidelines? They're whatever the World Health Organization need the community to be guided towards. If you need to be guided towards compliance, if you need to be guided towards tyranny, if you need to be guided towards a technological dictatorship, then you better believe that we will be participating in that nightmare with them. So, there you go. War, what is it good for? We've got Dr. Asim Malhotra coming up on the show, and if you're watching us on YouTube, remember, click the link in the description. We never shy away from deploying the wisdom of Glenn Greenwald, whether it's here on our principal Rumble stream, or for the Awakened Wonders watching us even now. I'm talking to you, my sock puppet, who's got hashtag world peace lingering in the chat even right now, and Bab Cornflake and Shaman 711 and Jack Swiss, some of our fine friends there who, remember, get access every single week to an exclusive video only available to them, and they join us for conversations that I promise you will change the world. We have no choice now. We're like the early Christians. We're like century one. We got no choice but to get out in there into the street and convert and evangelize. I swear to you, I don't care if you are a Muslim or if you are a Jew or if you are an evangelist atheist. I'm just telling you now, this is the time to look across the aisle. This is the time to find a smile for people on another part of the spectrum to you, because they want you controlled and locked down. We told you yesterday that the Pfizer Act that's just been passed again is deployed against George Floyd protesters and Jan 6 protesters alike. They don't care. They want you lifed off, and they want you locked into arguments and combat so that they can control you. As long as you're bitter about another person's faith or culture or race or creed, they got you right where they want you. And let's drink to that in a mug that stands for sweet freedom itself. Oh, it doesn't taste like sweet freedom, though. It's gruel, I tells you, and it's grueling. Now, remember, become an Awakened Wonder. If you use the code ISURRENDER, you get 1 month free. That's how confident we are in it. Let's have a look at what Glenn Greenwald's got to say about John, how am I supposed to live without you, Bolton. John Bolton is not only the country's most bloodthirsty and deranged warmonger. He's thirsty for blood, and he's deranged. But he wrote in Dick Cheney for president in 2020, and will do it again this year. He likes it. Yet he's beloved by CNN and MSNBC, which treat him, as a wise foreign policy expert solely because he bashes Trump. Does this help you to understand that we live in a state of delirium, that they have no principles? They have no principles over at CNN. It's terrifying that the principles of justice are no longer blind but have one eye on a particular outcome when it comes to the election in your nation in November. It's terrifying that the legacy media don't print all the news that's fit to print but convey all the propaganda that makes sure it goes their way. It's terrifying that an organization as vast and sprawling as Google are willing and able to manipulate outcomes in elections and create a news cycle for you that traps you in the very delirium that we have to awaken from, that we have no choice but to awaken from. We're going to leave you on YouTube right now. Let's start that countdown. But as we go, let me tell you, have you seen my ball bags? Have you seen my ball bags? Look at this. This item is 25% off this week. This is what you could pack anything that you wanted to within reason and within the confines of the law. 25% off this week. All of our merchandise goes to supporting people that have mental health problems, people that have drug addiction issues, to get them into treatment. You can ask us about it by emailing us or reaching out to some locals. We'll tell you all the details. And if you need help, God knows we'll help you. Click the link in the description. Asim Malhotra coming up. Now, you might not be aware aware that Israel have already determined what their course of action is to be when it comes to responding to Iranian attacks. In fact, let me show you what they say. The cabinet's met to discuss the response. The response is, I don't know if it's going to be anything. Now, I have to show you what George Galloway is saying. George Galloway has been on the show. He is the MP for Rochdale right now in our country. That means he's the congressman for Rochdale right now. He was swept to power by a popular vote, beating all of the main parties. Is this a time where independent politicians can really change the world? Whether it's Bobby Kennedy, who he said today that Trump asked him to be his VP. I know a lot of you in the chat really wanted that, didn't you? You said that Bobby Kennedy and Trump, that would you'd have it on lockdown with those two guys. But I think Trump's got a little bit on the offensive, hasn't he, without Bobby? And now Bobby Kennedy is saying that, he's saying that the Trump website appears to be sort of attacking him. In a sense, we have an independent politician in our country in the form of George Galloway, who's using his time in Parliament, that's our equivalent of Congress, to attack the stooges that lead both parties. Our version of the Democrat Party, led by WEF stooge, no point voting for him, you're voting for more of the same. Our version of the Republican Party, Rishi Sunak, well, that guy's tied up in the WEF and in hedge funds that supported Moderna and profited from Moderna in every single direction. These things are simply true. But, we can verify them. If you want to see how working out, we can verify them for you. This is George Galloway, rather brilliantly, in Parliament, ripping a new one for the establishment on the subject of this escalating tension, in particular, the failure of the government or the media to properly demand accountability for the initial incident that led to Iran's attack on Israel. You know me, I'm an anti-war guy, so I don't think any violence is right, of course. So let's have a look at George Galloway in Parliament, reminding people that there was an attack on the consulate, which is essentially an attack on Iranian soil. Let's have a look.
There was not one single word in the Prime Minister's statement of condemnation of the Israeli destruction of the Iranian consulate in Damascus, which is the proximate reason for the event everyone is here in concert condemning. He was not even asked to do so by the front bench opposite. Kay Burley is the only person so far to demand that of a government minister. We have no treaty with Israel, at least not one that Parliament has been shown. And the Iranians are not likely to listen to him. When Britain occupied Iran, looted its wealth, and overthrew its one democratic socialist government in my own lifetime.
Look at how your elected leaders laugh and scoff. Look at them. Feel them. See who they really are. Now, they're human beings, and as a man of God, I offer them nothing but love and compassion. But as a person that's awakening, that wants to change the world, what you are looking there right now at that frozen screen, let's get that image up. That's the problem. These are the people that we cannot trust. These are the people that we must oppose. These are the people that we must prevent steering us towards Armageddon, which is precisely what they're doing right now. Let us find new alliances. Let us find new ways of working together in beautiful concert so we can continue to oppose this terrifying corruption. Let's see what Rishi Sunak, WEF stooge, hedge fund profiteer for Moderna, has to say on this subject.
Well, Mr. Speaker, whatever may have happened a few weeks ago, it is absolutely no justification for launching more than 300 drones and missiles from one sovereign state towards Israel. It's as simple as that. And in the Honourable Gentleman's question,
It's as simple as that. That's so amazing, isn't it? Like the complexity of the Middle Eastern conflict. It's as simple as that. You will have seen David Cameron just yesterday astonished at the potential for these drone strikes to cause civilian casualties, seemingly oblivious to what's been going on for the last 6 months in Gaza.
Once did he condemn that action, or indeed the actions of Hamas in the region?
There you go. That's news, baby. Remember to chop those bits off. Okay, so the White House has recently said that it opposes standalone Israeli military aid. They want to bundle it together, as is often the case with other conflicts, including the Ukraine war and potential conflict with China. Russia's military is bigger and more powerful than before the war. Good news there. But even better news is that I am now joined by our guest today, and how excited I am to be joined by our guest. Oh, yeah, you need me to do the ad, do you? Is that right? Should I do the ad? Because it's a generic. But before I bring you our guest today, Asim Malhotra, friend of the show, a man who's never short of a lyric, let me tell you that. We have a word from one of our sponsors, and our sponsors I am always grateful to because they support us. So please pay close attention to a message that may, as far as we know, be extremely valuable to you, particularly if you are sick and tired of paying tax to fund their crazy wars. Have a look at this. We can't continue to bring you this awakening and hopefully enjoyable content without the support of our partners. That's why I've got to ask you, and I'm glad to ask you, are you struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? The IRS is escalating collections, adding, get this, 20,000 new agents and sending over 5 million collection letters to kick off 2024 to spend on things that you probably don't agree with, like wars and measures and a total lack of infrastructure. In these challenging times, your best defense is Tax Network USA. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. With over 14 years of experience, Tax Network USA have saved their clients over $1 billion in back taxes. No matter the size of your tax issue, their expertise is your advantage. They specialize in negotiating with the IRS, aiming to significantly reduce your debt. Tax Network USA doesn't just negotiate, they also protect your assets from IRS seizures and manage your yearly returns for ongoing compliance. Importantly, they are licensed to help you with all state tax issues, regardless of where you live in the United States. The clock is ticking. Don't wait as the IRS steps up its game. Seize control of your financial future now. Contact Tax Network USA for immediate relief and expert guidance. Call 1-800-245-6000 or visit taxnetworkusa.com/brand. Don't let tax issues overpower you. Turn to Tax Network USA and find your path to financial peace of mind. Right, let's get back to this content. Remember to use our code and then the Tax Network will know that our adverts work and you won't have to spend as much money funding unnecessary virulent wars and ensuring that corporatism across the globe is propped up. Now, I'm very proud and excited to introduce friend of the show, cardiologist and public health campaigner, as well as principled man and great orator, Dr. Asim Malhotra. Dr. Asim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Russell, always great to see you.
I know that you have one story in particular that you're very keen to discuss, what seems like a landmark case in Finland regarding matters to do with the pandemic, indeed claims that were made about particular, well, we're on Rumble, about, you know, saying that Pfizer, that various vaccines stop transmission when plainly they don't. Would you like to start there because it's the thing you care about?
Yeah, no, very interesting, Russell. So this case is a civil case that's brought by an entrepreneur in Finland called Mika Vaukala. And he essentially was refused to be served an entry in one of Finland's most popular, well-known chains, restaurant chains called Fazer, interestingly, F-A-Z-E-R, not Pfizer, Fazer. And he was refused service in December 2021 because he did not have a COVID pass. In other words, he did not have proof that he'd been fully vaccinated. So he decided to bring this case against the Finnish government and that catering company. And I was called as an expert witness. And I was actually in court last Friday in Helsinki District Court. And they allowed me 2 hours to speak. And what was very interesting was the fact that the, you know, this, everything that was happening in Finland was really happening around the world at the same time. We had, if you remember, there was a initial introduction of mandating the COVID vaccine for healthcare workers in the UK, Russell, which we campaigned on and helped overturn. So really, I was given 2 hours with a Finnish translator to really sort of make the whole case. But what I did was I not only talked about the evidence that was very clear by December 2021, as you said already, the vaccine wasn't stopping transmission. It wasn't even stopping infection. But actually to use it as an opportunity to really expose the whole system of institutional corruption, how Big Pharma have captured medicine, and why we can't even trust what's published in medical journals anymore, especially if it comes from the pharmaceutical industry.
Asim, how confident do you feel that a positive outcome in this civil matter in Finland would lead to a seismic shift in the way that the pandemic era is regarded, given the type of interests that are implicated in any condemnation of the way that the vaccines were promoted and funded and sold and mandated in New York for key workers, mandated in the US military? I've spoken to various members of the American military who feel, well, some of whom got a special dispensation to avoid taking that medication and are now incredibly relieved. I'm sure you'll be familiar with the story of the children's trials that Pfizer undertook that led plainly to side effects in one of the participants in the trial who were then subsequently gaslit by Pfizer and told, like, oh no, this is, you've got anxiety, when it looked to me like Bell's palsy, but then I'm not a doctor. With so many powerful interests, whether they are corporate or political, tied up in this, how likely are we to see justice? And do you think that people can even accommodate justice of that scale? Doesn't it require such a sort of a potent reckoning, Doctor, that people aren't sort of really willing to undertake it? I meet a lot of people that are like, oh, can't you just move on? It's too complicated. Can't we just let go?
Yeah, really good points you make. So I think the first thing is we have to hope and, you know, push for justice to occur. Certainly people on who are fully awake to what's really been going on. I think I know that there are concerns that have been raised, and I won't go into a lot of detail, but of the three judges that were there, I think two of them are not completely impartial. I think one of them had been very prominent actually in pushing the COVID passes originally. So that's obviously an issue. Huh. We will find out in the next 2 to 4 weeks what the verdict is. But I think, Russell, for me, I look at this also philosophically. And, you know, I know that people like Robert Kennedy Jr. and Jordan Peterson say this, and I agree with them. When you speak the truth, you got to let go of the outcome. Hmm. We see this as an opportunity of really disseminating more truth to make injustice visible. And that's what we're doing. So even if the case is lost, I know that the plaintiff, Mika Vaukala, has vowed that he will carry on. And ultimately, this may end up going to the European Court of Human Rights. So this may drag on for years, but I don't think that's a bad thing, Russell, because we need to keep this gross injustice on humanity alive for as long as possible. And as you've discussed very eloquently, you know, over a very long period of time, this is just a symptom of a larger system failure, of essentially an economic system, corporate capture of public health, corporate capture of human beings, corporate capture of medicine. But, you know, many of these points I actually made in my deposition as well to the judges. And one of the most interesting things that recently emerged, I remember thinking when the mandates were introduced, I had already gone on GB News in November 2021 to highlight clear problems and concerns with the fact that the vaccine may be causing cardiac problems at that stage. Now we know, obviously, it's much more conclusive. But also, Sajid Javid had come out and said we win a mandate for healthcare workers. And something was very odd because by that stage, Russell, as we know, it wasn't stopping transmission. The evidence was clear. It wasn't even stopping infection. And very recently, a journalist in America called Li Fang actually uncovered that Pfizer themselves, from early 2021, had actually been funding organizations, credible organizations, medical organizations, even civil rights groups, to push this narrative that we need to mandate the vaccine. Now, why would they do that when it was even very clear to them, I'm sure, that it wasn't stopping infection or transmission? That's what pathologically self-interested entities do. This is what big corporations do. And there is a precedent here. I'm not just saying this out of, you know, pure speculation. In 1999, there was a drug marketed called Vioxx by drug company Merck that ultimately was pulled from the market 5 years later. They were found almost $1 billion because they hid data showing that it was going to cause heart attacks and strokes in a considerable number and ultimately killed probably 60,000 Americans. But in 2001, 3 years before it was pulled, the FDA were alerted to this problem. They contacted Merck and told them they need to stop advertising this drug. They need to put a black box warning on the drug. What did Merck do? They ignored it completely. They doubled down on their marketing and they gave almost $1 million to the New England Journal of Medicine, the highest impact medical journal in the world, so they could purchase more reprints from the journal of the original trials and use it as marketing material. So in my view, it is very likely, Russell, the mandates were pushed by Pfizer only when they knew it was causing considerable harm, the vaccine, and it wasn't stopping transmission. How do you describe this behavior? I will reference the forensic psychologist behind the original international classification of psychopath. You call it psychopathic as entities. And I think everybody needs to start from that point to understand that the people who are in control are psychopathic in nature when it comes to business interests.
Certainly there is a kind of collective psychopathy, even if the individuals themselves are perfectly rational in a Rudolf Hess in zone of interest way, adjacent to death camps as they carry on with their ordinary lives. It seems that aside from the disgusting name Merck, which sounds like and ought be a wig for the pubic hair, it sounds like, you know, Merck as well jumped on board pretty swiftly, didn't they, with some measures for COVID. Revolting little organisation, disgusting little story. I'm reminded, Doctor, of the minuscule fines paid by Pfizer when they were found to be in breach and violation of UK medical codes. I think some of the fines they were received, even though they had been making posts, making unfair, duplicitous claims before their drugs had been trialed. They were saying that the vaccines were 95% effective and stuff. And when they were fined, I think it was like £38,000. Now, how is it that companies like Merck, disgusting, and Pfizer are able to manipulate either the journals with it that are adjacent to their industry or, and indeed, the regulatory bodies that are charged with controlling them? What? How far down the road are we? And if you can cite so effortlessly examples of evident and obvious corruption, how is it likely that we will succeed in ever getting the justice required, whether it's with the case in Finland or, you know, comparable cases where people are starting to stand up against the various groups, individuals and corporations involved in this malpractice?
Having spent quite a lot of time looking into this, Russell, I think going to the root cause, where we are now is really just an extension of policies, you know, that were introduced by the likes of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, albeit well-intentioned, the so-called deregulation neoliberal economic policies, where we've now got both visible and invisible unchecked power of these big corporations, where they have massive influence over politicians, some of it through lobbying, some of it through direct payments, especially in America. They capture the knowledge environment, they capture the media, they have philanthropic organizations, for example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is heavily invested in pharmaceutical industry stocks. We know Bill Gates made $500 million from investments in the COVID vaccines. And it's a big problem because he's also now the second largest funder to the World Health Organization. They capture the knowledge environment as well by funding university education or certainly clinical trials in this country. Most of the drug trials are funded by the drug industry. And then they also engage in something called opposition fragmentation, Russell. So this is where they deliberately will smear or try and suppress information coming out from people who are dedicated to the truth. You've suffered this, you know, myself, other people around the world, because they want to keep the conflict hidden. And that's conflict between the interests of the powerful and conflict over whom those power is exerted. To quote Noam Chomsky, the general population doesn't know what's happening and they don't even know that they don't know. But actually increasingly, Russell, through platforms like yours, you know, through people around the world, people you've engaged with, people I respect a lot from the likes of Joe Rogan and even Tucker Carlson, who I think has come a long way in the last few years into becoming awake to what's really going on. I think the information is getting out and I think the legacy media is losing trust. And we just have to keep pushing forward until the tipping point occurs where real change occurs. But it has to happen with engagement with policymakers and politicians because they actually have control over policies and laws that can stop this happening again.
Yes, Bill Gates indeed is the second largest donor to the WHO. The first largest donor, I think, is Germany, which is a country. So Bill Gates is almost a country, and certainly most of the people in the chat would agree with the first syllable of that word. We've got a question for you, Asim, from Gino131 in the chat, who gave $5. Thanks, mate. He said, he says, like, what do you think about them horrible fibrous white blood clots and their potential connection to vaccines? You've got a view on that, Doctor?
Yeah, I mean, I've only looked at it superficially in the sense I've just been looking at reports. I know John Campbell's done some good sort of podcasts on this particular issue. Yeah, unusual. I've not seen it personally myself. We do know that the vaccine does lots of strange potential things because it can affect the spike protein, can potentially affect every organ system in the body. Acutely, people have died from blood clots that have been attributed to the vaccine. So really, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty, unfortunately, Russell, with how this vaccine causes harm and what to do about it. And we have so much extensive data that it's problematic. Really, what we need is we need a mea culpa from the medical establishment to say, listen, we've got this very, very wrong. We did this with good intentions. We've been duped. We need to stop now, and we need to invest resources into investigating how do we help the vaccine injured and how do we look after people who may have no symptoms at the moment, but maybe, Russell, be putting themselves at risk of cancer and not even know about it because of the fact that the vaccine is causing chronic inflammation in the body. So there are lots of issues that need to be dealt with, but we can't start to get there until there is a mainstream and widespread acknowledgement that this is a really big problem.
Let me ask you this at 42 minutes and 7 seconds into our chat. A question from our awakened wonder in the locals community, Trad Annie. Does Dr. Malhotra feel the vaccine is having different effects on males and females? With males, they seem to be having heart issues, etc. And with females, it appears to be turbo cancers, a term that didn't even exist before the vaccine rollout. Of course, your area of expertise is cardiology. I believe, please forgive me if I'm mistaken, that your father before you was a cardiologist and that the story of your father's sad passing is connected to this. So I'd like to add my own reflections and an invitation for yours, of course, to the question by Trad Annie from the Awakened Wonder for the difference between adverse events, speculatively, between males and females.
Yeah, I haven't looked at any sex differences specifically. In general, Russell, men tend to develop heart disease earlier than women, so that might be why we're seeing it more in men in terms of heart issues. I don't think turbo cancers are specifically confined to women. I defer to one of the world's most eminent oncologists and immunologists and vaccine specialists in this area, Professor Angus Dalgliesh, who I know very well, and he has postulated with good evidence that boosters in particular are causing immunosuppression, and we need a good functioning immune system to deal with cancer cells that are now proliferating in many of these people who have had more than two doses. But I also know that it may also be affecting people who've had less than three doses or less than a booster. But it's interesting, you mentioned my father. I'm glad you brought that up. I did talk about it in my deposition. My father was a retired GP, but he was a vice president of the BMA, and he suffered a sudden cardiac arrest 6 months after the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. And I deduced and wrote about in a medical journal that it's likely the vaccine that causes acceleration of heart disease and a cardiac arrest. But the reason I mention that, in addition to what you just asked me, Russell, is that at the time of his cardiac arrest, there was an ambulance delay. And I became a whistleblower because I was informed by someone in the Department of Health, a very senior nurse, and I mentioned this in the court hearings, that there was essentially a cover-up involving the Department of Health and NHS England to stop the public knowing for several months that ambulance delays were happening all throughout the country for people with heart attacks. And I went to, ultimately, I published it in the I newspaper. It became a BBC headline story. But before I published it, I contacted a well-known cardiologist, someone I respect in London, to tell him what I was about to do. And the response was, I shouldn't expose this because it would make me enemies. And I said, Prof, what about our duty to patients? And there was no real reply. He said, well, I want to help you get a job back in the NHS. So he's well-meaning. But the point there is, Russell, that how have we got to the stage where doctors' leaders are now not even adhering to what we would expect to be the highest ethical standards of behavior? And one of the points I made in the court, and I'm going to be very careful the way I talk about this, I'm not making a comparison here. There was a very interesting research paper published in 2017 in BMC Medicine, put together by Israeli academics, doctors, historians, who came together to discuss what happened during the Holocaust and what was the role of the medical profession. And even I was very, very shocked to learn at that point, Russell, that 45% of doctors joined the Nazi party versus 7% of teachers. And they make the point in the piece about something culturally, which is a concern of medicine moving forward, is that medicine is hierarchical and obedient, and that's a risk factor for abuse of power. And they talk about things about informed consent, assisted reproduction, even genomics. And they make the reason they mention this is that unless we fully acknowledge that, then we may have a problem in the future. And I can make an analogy here in the sense that absolutely 100% I believe that most doctors are well-meaning, are principled. But the problem we've got is that medical establishment has become too close to industry, and industry interests are not in the interests of public health. They are there to make money, and often, quite often, pathological in their interests. So what we've got, and I told the court, is that unfortunately, many people in the medical establishment are essentially in bed with entities that are psychopathic. What do you expect is going to happen? It's going to be an absolute, part of my language, a potential shit show. And that's where we are with this COVID vaccine right now.
Extraordinary. We have another great question, this time from Abigator777, also an awakened wonder, who asks, and this is pertinent to your last statement, in spite of the astonishing cursing, Doctor, what can regular people do to combat government overreach and globalization? How can we help you both fight the fight? Also, can I have your hat, Russell? Yes, you can. We've got your email. You can have this hat or maybe a similar hat, but we'll work that out for you, Abigator777. What can we do? How do we become activated? How do we become organized? How do we not become, how, if we have to wait for billionaires to, you know, pursue civil cases across the globe, then, you know, like, in a sense, aren't we still in a position of sort of slightly passive and inactive state, waiting for other people to take up this fight on our behalf?
I think the most important thing that everybody can do, Russell, is just not to be afraid to speak the truth. And even if that's conversation with family members or friends or posting stuff on social media, is to just keep having the courage to just stand up for what you believe in. And also at the same time, it's not easy. People are getting very, very angry. I mean, I'm a pacifist. I adhere to Buddhist philosophy. I'm inspired by the likes of Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela. I do not want to see violence happen. I was getting quite disturbed recently to see that the former health minister of Italy is now walking around with bodyguards because he's getting death threats. There are videos going around showing that people are calling him murderer for introducing the COVID passes in Italy. This could go very, very wrong. You know, if justice doesn't happen, Russell, in the right way, you know what's going to happen next. People will start to take justice into their own hands. That isn't good. And that could potentially lead to violence and bloodshed. So when we all speak out, we need to also speak from a place of compassion and just understand and accept that many of the people on the other side are willfully blind. They are unaware. They are ignorant. And we have to do our very best to try and get through to them. But we have to be relentless. We can't stay passive any longer.
From a place of compassion and love. Indeed, in Japan, there have recently been significant protests against the WHO and their proposed treaty. We've already discussed the unique and slightly exploitable funding model that the WHO has. And even though they've seemed to have altered some of the wording in their treaty, it still grants extraordinary powers to an unelected globalist body, that, you know, whether it's taking our taxes, the ability to impose regulations, and even law, were there to be another pandemic. And even the definition of what would constitute a pandemic is somewhat nebulous. What do you feel about these protests and how ought we be responding to this treaty?
Yeah, I think they're very important protests. I think it's another way of just getting people's attention to what's going on. There's also a big rally taking place in Geneva at the end of May, which I'm going to, which is going to do something similar. We're going to get thousands of people, hopefully from around the world, to also make our concerns heard. But people need to understand the World Health Organization. And I used to be a big fan of the World Health Organization. I think they've done a lot of good things. But like many of these institutions, Russell, over the last few years, they have been completely captured by these big corporations who don't have people's interests at heart, who actually deliberately want to suppress democracy. And it's sending the world into a very, very bad, dark place. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as the WHO can take money from the likes of Bill Gates and other, corporate or commercial entities, they cannot and should not be trusted.
Remember, if you're watching us on Rumble right now, whether you're watching us live or you're watching this on demand, it's very important that you subscribe to our channel, and it's very important that you press the like button as it elevates us in the consciousness, mind and awareness of Rumble and other Rumble users. If you're not an Awakened Wonder yet, become an Awakened Wonder, because you get exclusive content every single week and access to our guests often live, although Dr. Asim Malhotra has been kind enough to join us live for the stream. Remember, if you use the code I surrender, you get 1 month free. What have you got to lose? Absolutely nothing. Join our book club, join our meditations, join us. Now, Doctor, even under the incredible pressure that they must have been under, National Health Service workers, that's our publicly funded health service in the United Kingdom. I think, was it maybe 20% of staff refused to take some of the eventual vaccines, if not the initial round of vaccines. This, like, interestingly, opposes what you said about this sort of hierarchical and obedient nature of the medical industry, perhaps when it comes to doctors. I'm not suggesting that you're obedient. You're a very recalcitrant and difficult man. What do you... What does that indicate? And I wonder sometimes what's going to happen to the military personnel in the US and the health personnel in the US, as well as our beloved NHS workers in this country, when it comes to some kind of compensation and even amends, you know, when it like restitution when it comes to the way they were treated during the pandemic. What do those statistics indicate to you, Doctor?
Yeah, I mean, I remember it was around 80,000 NHS workers that had refused to have the COVID jab. And I remember getting contacted by many of them because I was able to use a platform of the likes of the BBC then and Sky News, who were interviewing me about my dad's ambulance delay and asking me about why is the NHS failing. And I said, well, we've not combated the two biggest drivers of strain on the NHS for many years, which is big food and big pharma. But I then use the opportunity saying that, listen, this is a time that Sajid Javid needs to row back on this vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, because these staff were refusing to have the vaccine. And I think for some of them, you know, everyone has a different perspective based upon their own individual circumstances. But I think for a lot of those healthcare workers, they probably were exposed to COVID in 2020. They understood what natural immunity was. They felt this vaccine was being rolled out too quickly, and they decided that they weren't going to have the vaccine. And that was very fair. And clearly, they're on the right side of history. But at the time, I think it was very reasonable for them to do so. And that's probably why they dug their heels in. Interestingly, though, Russell, just to tell you the power of the media to really shape people's opinions and shape people's behaviors and their minds. I called up the chair of the BMA in December 2021 because I was very concerned about this mandate for healthcare workers. And I had a two-hour conversation with him. And he said to me, and by that stage, I'd actually done a lot more research into the issue of the vaccine. I knew about the harms to the heart. And he said to me, Asim, nobody, and he was referring to some of his colleagues in health policy. He didn't name Chris Whitty, but I suspect he was referring to him as well. And he said, most of my colleagues, nobody seems to have critically appraised the evidence as well as you have. Most of my colleagues are getting their information on the benefits and the harms of the vaccine from the BBC. Now, Rochelle Walensky, the former chair of the CDC, said something similar, that her optimism about the vaccine came from a CNN news report, Russell. That CNN news report was almost verbatim a reproduction of Pfizer's press release. So this is the power of mainstream media to shape opinions, even of doctors. I made this point in the court as well, and I think the judges were a little bit gobsmacked to hear that.
That's extraordinary. If there is one thing we can do collectively, both you and I, but I'm talking to everyone in our community, we can disabuse people of the notion that they can trust for even a second the legacy media that operate entirely to amplify narratives that are that present opportunities for power and profit to the corporatist, globalist establishment powerful. Well, that's something we can participate in directly and immediately. Dr. Asim Malhotra, thank you for being here today. Now, earlier, we conducted a poll among our audience where we asked them, quite simply, should governments be held accountable for introducing vaccine passports when they knew the vaccines didn't stop transmission? An extraordinary 97% of the 21,000 or 22,000 people polled, and this is from a few hours ago, said, yes, they bloody well should. And only a few people said, oh, it's all so confusing. I'm sure they were trying their best. Now, when we have the landmark case that you've referred to, doesn't it indicate that actually, what we require is for the governments that participated in these problems and these decisions to be made truly accountable. And I want to draw your attention to this also, Doctor. It seems that Pfizer didn't pay its corporate income tax in the United States. They found ways of avoiding that. So it's not just medical malpractice that they engage in. I wonder what you think about the possibility for accountability at the level of government and indeed these corporations being taken to task when they plainly have such favorable relationships with governments, whether that's, you know, the tiny fines that have been issued in the UK for making untrue statements on social media numerous times. That's Pfizer. You gave us a great example of Merck, the disgustingly named pharmaceutical corporation. In a sense, you've said already they're psychopathic, but also it seems inherently criminal. So indeed, who would it be that would be able to issue justice? Krishna, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Prophet Muhammad? Where is the justice going to come from?
Yeah, I think ultimately it has to happen through legal means, Russell. But yeah, it's difficult. I mean, even the judiciary themselves are influenced by a certain narrative which comes through the mainstream. But the governments definitely have to have some accountability here. The reason that they're in their positions is they're supposed to represent the interests of the people, not the interests of corporations. But I think more important than making government and even Pfizer accountable, and I've actually said even before in a previous American news channel, I think it was Fox, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think that the compensation for the vaccine injured should come from Pfizer. They've made $100 billion from this vaccine. And I think knowing it wasn't going to, you know, it didn't say what it was supposed to. It didn't do what they claimed it was going to do. And I think they should be held responsible and accountable for that. But more importantly, moving forward, Russell, is for people to understand that the economic system has got us where we are right now. And therefore, much bigger changes need to be made moving forward so that this never happens again. And we have a greater justice and equality as well. This is actually even counterproductive to the so-called liberal economic model. Adam Smith, who's considered the brainchild behind this, said that markets function best on perfect information and relative equality. And what we've been seeing over the last couple of decades is a complete opposite. You know, the people who are very big proponents of big business talk about a free market. It's not free market. It's freedom to deceive, freedom to exploit, freedom to manipulate, freedom to dominate. And then they don't even pay their taxes. You know, people say, well, where are we going to get the money to fund the NHS? Well, you've got these big corporations who are basically making money through fraud, trillions. They have trillions of dollars hidden in tax havens, which could be used actually to fund public services. And we have to pick up the pieces. When harm is done, who's paying for the vaccine injured? There's very little conversation going on. People are spending thousands of pounds of their own money. I know one of my patients, to try and get lots of tests done and to try and, you know, go through novel treatments to help himself. I mean, the whole system is it's beyond a joke, Russell. It really is.
It's appalling. Lazy RA in our chat asks, is there anything natural or medical we can use to reverse the side effects of the vaccines? Do you feel qualified to answer that, Doc?
Yeah, listen, it's a great question. It's something I've been looking into myself, trying to help other patients with. There's a lot of pioneering work going on from the likes of Peter McCullough, Pierre Corey over in the States. I think the first thing to say, more than anything else, and I've said this before, is that people need to do their best to optimize their lifestyle. And that might mean as simple as eating real food, cutting out ultra-processed food, refined carbs, sugar, you know, engaging in regular activity, meditation. Actually, a lot of the solutions come from that, first and foremost. And there are other things that people can do, but of course, it has to be individually tailored. And I think if you're an individual that's suffering, then the first thing I suggest you do is go to the FLCCC website in the United States and see if you can get some information there and even have a Zoom consultation with one of the doctors to try and understand what's going on with you.
Almost the opposite, Doctor, of locking people in their houses and encouraging them to take vaccines by offering them free donuts and burgers. You'll be familiar, I'm sure, with the story that the WHO's own vaccine expert advised against vaccine passports. Testifying in a lawsuit, the WHO's leading vaccine expert said she advised against COVID vaccine passports as the vaccines did not stop transmission and gave a false sense of security. I wonder, Doctor, what you think about that story?
Well, yeah, that's actually, she was the witness in our case, so it's interesting. Her name is Hanno Honayek, I think, if I pronounce the name correctly. Effectively, the chief medical officer of Finland. And she said in court to the judges that the vaccine passports gave people a false sense of security because the vaccine wasn't stopping transmission or infection. And they knew that. And even, I think, advised the government. But it wasn't until 6 months later that they got rid of it. So again, Russell, it comes back to, as far as I'm concerned, the evidence is very, very clear. Vaccine mandates had no ethical scientific justification. It was all pushed by Pfizer.
What an extraordinary world we live in, and what an incredible job you are doing, Dr. Asim Malhotra, in countenancing and opposing some of this appalling corruption. Can you please thank you, first of all, for joining us for an illuminating conversation, as always. Can you please tell our audience how they can follow your work and find your content and support you?
Thank you, Russell. Well, first of all, if people want to know about this case, please go to casecovidpass.com. And you can support Mika, who is leading this case and is going to carry on. He's not going to stop. And if we lose, he's going to take this further. Me personally on Instagram, I'm Lifestyle Medicine Doctor, Dr. Asim Malhotra on Twitter. And that's pretty much all you need to know for now.
All we need to know is that you are a handsome and beautiful and brilliant man. And since our early encounters, you've become a lot more moderated and disciplined in your communication. I can remember in our first ever conversation going, "Shut!" because I just wanted to speak. I'd forgotten what I sounded like. And now I realise that everything you're saying is incredibly valuable. Either you have changed, or I have changed, or the world has changed. And hopefully I pray that it all changes more as a result of your intrepid work and valuable contributions. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Russell, for all your brilliant, eloquent work. I love watching your stuff, and keep going, mate.
I will. Thank you. God is great. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Asim Malhotra. What a fantastic conversation that was. And there's so much more that I've got to tell you about. I can hardly wait to tell you about our Awakened Wonder opportunities. I'm thrilled to tell you about them. I can't wait. In fact, I'm going to tell you now. There's no need to wait another second. So, if you become an Awakened Wonder, you get early access to interviews. You can join us for conversations with brilliant people like Roseanne Barr. People from our community posed fantastic questions to Roseanne. You will see those questions being asked elsewhere. You get to join us in our book club. All you have to do is use the code ISURRENDER. And indeed, I think today we're going to do an additional 10 minutes right now. Hot offer that, why, let's strike while the iron is hot. We're going to stay for another 10 minutes right now. Use the code ISURRENDER. You can cancel anytime in your first month and you will get all of your money back. But if you stay with us, and I know you will, you can join us for weekly meditations, weekly book clubs, conversations with brilliant experts. Plus, you get your own video every week. I want to welcome, and I pray I'll see you in a few seconds in the Awakened Wonder chat, people like Stay in the Light 19, Mike 60, Jeanette 591, Juni Perala, and I Know Right or Not. That's a fantastic name. We've got some fantastic content coming up. We will see you tomorrow. Remember, Roseanne Barr coming up on Friday. And for our Awakened Wonders, we've got Dr. Nels, who's a brilliant contributor. I'm terrified to even tell you anything about him because I don't want to get you too excited, but we've got that conversation coming up soon. If you come to Locals right now, I'll show you the menu. Remember, if you're watching us on Rumble, like, subscribe, make our channel look good. We need your support. We're going to put ourselves out there. We're going to fight this thing to the goddamn death. They're going to have to peel us off the floor. They're going to have to behead us and hang us. They're going to have to go ISIS to stop this movement themselves. So, glory unto he that has all power. Join us using the code ISURRENDER so greater forces can come through you. We're going to have a brilliant conversation in a few seconds. And this is just the start of another fantastic week that will lead to the glory of God and to absolute revolution. Until tomorrow, we'll bring you more of the same, not more of the different. You know, I can't remember the catchphrase anymore, but I should be able to read it right now because it should be on teleprompter. See you in a few seconds over on Locals. Stay free.
No, here's the fucking news.